Let's pray. Lord our God, we thank you that you are here in this place. And we ask that you will guide our thoughts as we look to your word, or its relevance to us in the situation in which we find ourselves. Help us to be willing to obey you. Amen.
Amen.
So I have a question. What's your plans for the rest of this day? What plans do you have for the week ahead? How's the planning going for? You can fill in your own blanks. Within church, how are you and I going to be involved in the plans for, again, fill in your own blanks? How's the mission action plan going? What, as Christians, is our role within our nation at this time? How do we react to all the events of the last few days? Our gospel reading marks a turning point in the ministry of Jesus. Earlier in chapter 9, we hear of Peter's confession. And Jesus asks, "Who do you say I am?" Peter replies, "The Christ of God." Christ is here. There's recognition by Peter of who Jesus is. Then those events of the Transfiguration. Jesus alongside Moses and Elijah, two of the great figures of the Old Testament. And God says, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." So we're told who Jesus is. We're talking about God. God who is here. And so the next stage of Jesus' ministry is about to begin. Verse 51 of Luke chapter 9 says, "As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem." A journey begins. A journey which will ultimately lead to his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. A journey also for the disciples as they travel alongside Jesus and discover what it really means to be a follower. But also a journey for us as we see its relevance for us in the place where we find ourselves. And not just for us as individuals, but for us as a community. Also for us as a nation. We sang earlier about that our hope for God to break out in this nation. So this passage has a relevance for this nation. But the journey has no sooner started than there's a problem. The people in the Samaritan village are not welcoming, especially as their plan is to go to Jerusalem. For there was great enmity between the Jews and the Samaritans, and this group were clearly not welcome. Perhaps the response of the disciples may have been considered quite natural. They don't want to know God. Let's destroy them. You might say, what arrogance to suggest that they had power and authority to do this. Jesus, his response is to turn and to rebuke the disciples and to simply move on. So was it a case of abuse and authority, of power and authority by the disciples? If we look at the history of the church, we can certainly see there are occasions when this has occurred. What about us? Something I think we need to be aware of in our conversations and our actions. Perhaps that's part of what is definitely needed at this time. As Phil mentioned, The archbishops in their letter have suggested that as Christians we should be a bridge, not a barrier. However, the disciples wanted to destroy them. Jesus moves on, there's no condemnation from him. What about us? Are there people who we know who at this time do not want to welcome Jesus? I think Jesus' acceptance of the Samaritan's position gives us hope. There are people who I would love to see come to know Jesus. But Jesus didn't allow the disciples to harm the Samaritans. And he didn't condemn them either. However, it does not stop us from continuing to love in a Christ-like manner, to pray and to hope one day those who don't know Jesus will be willing to welcome him. However, as Jesus and the disciples are walking along the road, there come three people who do want to welcome Jesus. And it's here that Jesus' response to these individuals shows us something about what it means to be a follower of his. The first seems to offer all. I will go wherever you go. Sorry, I will follow wherever you go even. Willing to go wherever Jesus leads. Willing to give up all they have and go. Certainly the disciples, when they were called by Jesus, left their job, their home, their family, and became itinerant alongside Jesus. Jesus spells out what this really means. Unlike the foxes and birds that have a place to rest, to lie down, the Son of Man has nowhere. I, over these last few days, whilst being on retreat, have been rereading Corrie Ten Boom's book, A Tramp for the Lord. I don't know whether you've heard of Corrie Ten Boom, but she was a lady of amazing faith who, during the Second World War, along with her family, helped to save a lot of Jewish people. And she ended up in a concentration camp. After the war, she had a miraculous release, and then she ended up just travelling around the world speaking of the events of her time in the concentration camp. She slept in hundreds of different beds, but in all of it, she asked, "Where do you want me to go next, Jesus?" In reading, I was struck by her dedication to listening to God. But I was also struck that sometimes she had difficulty in hearing, sometimes difficulty in obeying. I think it was my reading of it was just a real example that, yes, we put our trust in God, and it's not all easy, it's not all straightforward. We really need to come back time and time again to God and asking, where do you want us to go? The second person, having heard Jesus say, "Follow me," says first he needs to return and bury his father. It's always caused me a bit of a trouble with this response, because to me, family's really important. However, when we look at this passage, the key lies in that word first. Because for a person of the Jewish faith, to bury your father in the correct manner was one of the most holy acts a son could perform. In this situation, the man fails to recognize who Jesus truly is, and his religious duty far outweighs his acceptance of God. For us, our response to God must be wholehearted, with all we are and all we have. Good news is, this is work in progress. Not one of us has got it sorted completely. I wrote all three sermons before I went on retreat. And I've got a next passage here that I was going to... Oh, yeah, that's a good example, Alison. However, it's not right. It was not right what I was going to put here, because I was trying to say, oh, well, you know, God, that's... I haven't got it right, and I can tell you where I haven't got it right. Other people can tell you where I haven't got it right, I'm sure. But actually, God doesn't really mind. But I'm just going to go back to that question. Do we put Jesus first? Do we put Jesus first? When we wake up in the morning, is he our first thought? Is he our first thought as we plan whatever next? I'm not sure. No, I know he's not always my first thought. I have a lesson to learn there. Jesus' reply to the man is such a reminder of what we're asked to do when we follow him. Go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Go and proclaim the gospel in the place where God has called you to be and in the way that God has called you to be. Not all being called to go to faraway places. However, I have been called to Chipstead from Reigate, so... Not asked to give up the day job. Well, not sure about that bit. We'll come back to that one perhaps at some time. Some of us actually may well be being called to move to faraway places. You might be being called to go to Reigate. There's always a possibility, isn't it? Some of us may be asked to give up our day job. Some of us, probably most of us, are asked to go and proclaim the gospel where we are. Where we are in our daily life, in the conversations and actions we have with our friends, neighbours, work colleagues. Maybe in those conversations we have with people over the EU referendum. Jesus may be calling us to proclaim the gospel to those who we would not usually come into contact with. I know of St. Margaret's involvement in the Renewed Hope Trust and AIM, amongst others. These organisations are sharing the kingdom of God. What is my role within this work? Perhaps you or we as a church are being called to proclaim the gospel in some other way. The mission statement of St. Margaret's makes it clear what we should all be about, to share God's transforming love with each other, our community, and the wider world. Are we doing that? Finally, another person willing to follow Jesus asks, to first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Again, we've got that word first, but also this time that idea of going back. Jesus' answer is to say those who start ploughing must not look back, for in looking back, the furrow will not be straight. There's the danger of going in the wrong direction. You'll not be effective in ploughing if your gaze is behind you. Instead, we need to look forward. I wonder whether actually that particular aspect of looking back is actually really, for me at this stage, I have to say, I've been at St. Mary's Reigate for 50 years. Half a century, gosh, amazing. Perhaps this is where I'm going to be for the next 50 years. Who knows? But it is, sometimes there is a danger, isn't there, in looking back. look back and say, I wish it was like that again. Maybe we look back sometimes and say, oh, well, I'm glad it's not like that. But we need our focus to be looking forward, to be gazing on Jesus, looking forward. When we set off on a journey, the direction in which we wish to travel is forward, so that eventually we'll arrive at our destination. The same is true for us as followers of Jesus. Our direction of travel must be forward, to know more of him, his love for us and for the world, and our part in ensuring God's love is shown throughout the world. Are we willing to look forward, to fix our eyes on Jesus? So I return to those questions I asked at the beginning. What are your plans for the rest of the day? What plans do you have for the week ahead? How is the planning going for various things, both at home and in church? What is our response to the world in which we live at this time? As individuals and as a community, our purpose must be wholeheartedly to welcome Jesus as Christ. If you like, that's the aim of our plan. And then, for ourselves and our community, to make sure that in our planning, we are following where Jesus requires us to go. We're putting him first, and we're looking to him. Let's just take a moment. Perhaps there's something that you need to talk to God about. Perhaps you need to listen to God. And then I will pray. Lord our God, we thank you that you are here with us. We thank you that you have such amazing things in store for us as individuals, as a community of faith, as a nation. Help us to fix our gaze on you, to be willing to go wherever you lead us, to put you first. Help us in the week ahead to be bridges for you rather than barriers. Lord, we pray for your kingdom to come in this nation. Amen.